In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Since this is the month of November, we feel that some good purpose will be served if we speak of the doctrine of purgatory. And we do so for two obvious reasons. First is that we need to take warning as to the fact of purgatory and its nature. And secondly, to remember all of our dear ones who have just died, because the chances are very great that no matter how long ago they died, they are in purgatory, and if they had the opportunity, would most urgently beg our prayers. I quote from this little book, which I strongly recommend to you if you have not read it. We have about half a dozen copies available. It cost us 50 cents. Mr. Clarity will have these after Mass. If any of you is desirous, you may have them on the pamphlet rack. I did not check to see. What is purgatory? It is a prison of fire which nearly all souls are plunged after death, in which they suffer the intensest pain. Here is what the great doctors of the Church tell us of purgatory. So grievous is their suffering that 1 minute in this awful fire seems like a century. St. Thomas of Aquinas, prince of theologians, says that the fire of purgatory is equal in intensity to the fire of hell, that the slightest contact with it is more dreadful than all the possible sufferings of the earth. St. Augustine, the greatest of the holy doctors, teaches that to be purified of their faults previously to being admitted to heaven, souls after death are subjected to a fire more penetrating, more dreadful than anything we can see or feel or conceive in this life. Though this fire is destined to cleanse and purify the soul, as the holy doctor, still it is more acute than anything we can possibly endure on earth. St. Cyril of Alexandria does not hesitate to say that it would be preferable to suffer all the possible torments of earth until judgment day than pass 1 day in purgatory. Another saint says, our fire, in comparison with the fire of purgatory, is as a refreshing breeze. Also, it must be remembered that the punishment of purgatory is not measured in terms of our view of our sins. Punishment of purgatory is not measured in terms of how we see ourselves in comparison with others. Rather, punishment is required in terms of all of our sins. All our sins include mortal sins, no matter how many. All of our venial sins, whether they be or have been deliberate or indeliberate. And all of our faults. Jesus said that, I say unto you, for every idle word you shall give an account. And with all of our idle words, we have to add all our idle minutes, all of our wasted thoughts, all of our broken resolutions, all of our improper desires, all of our unguarded looks and our sinful curiosity, all of our actions and negligences, not only what we did, we should not have, but all the things that we failed to do, which we ought to have done and knew well we ought to have done. This is the wording of the decree of the Council of Lyon, which tells us of the fact of purgatory. The souls of those who depart this life with true repentance and in the love of God, before they have rendered satisfaction for their trespasses and negligences by the worthy fruits of penance, are purified after death with the punishment of purification. You will notice that in that decree there is no mention of fire. In the Eastern Church, the idea that the purification is one of fire has never been as strong as in the West. The reason the tradition in the West with respect to this purifying fire is so strong is that the scriptures, in so many contexts, speak of fire. In the Old Testament, God tells how he will purify his people, the children of Israel, through a fire. This is how St. Paul describes how the work of the ministers of the church will be tested by God. And the church takes from these words proof that there is such a thing as purgatory, and we infer that punishment is after the manner of our earthly fire. This quotation is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, that is the judgment day, whether it be the particular judgment or the last day, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. St. Paul wrote these words to warn all those who came after him at Corinth that they must be careful what they add to the foundation that he had laid there. And the commentators say the gold represents sound doctrine. The silver, holy wisdom of Christ, and the precious stones, perseverance, such as we expect those who are to lead the people and to teach them. The wood and hay and stubble represent ministers or priests or bishops who mislead the people, not into heresy, but simply do not emphasize the important things. They do not lead the people and lead them soberly, but rather they allow the attention and the emphases to be in the wrong place, so that there is a certain waste of time and effort. I'm sure you all have been in parishes where it seems that the priests have lost the way. They're more concerned with incidentals and money-making or building, with buildings, than with the salvation of souls and the conversion of souls and the growth in holiness of souls. We have to take this quotation, all of us, to heart, remind ourselves that all of our sinful acts, even after they have been forgiven, still require satisfaction. The divine justice requires that there be some kind of balance reestablished, that whatever we have taken from God's honor be restored, whatever disorder we have introduced into His creation and into His church, into the supernatural order and into our souls, be rectified. Our Lord warns us that we had better do this while we are on earth, because if we wait until afterward, the punishment and the purification is terrible indeed. Come to terms with thy opponent quickly while thou art with him on the way, Jesus says in the 5th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, lest thy opponent deliver thee to the judge and the judge to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Amen, I say to thee, thou wilt not come out from it until thou hast paid to the uttermost farthing. A certain man was visited by a friend of his after that friend had died and gone to purgatory. And he returned to say, I am in that place where every death is exactly and rigidly reckoned, and where not so much as a straw is overlooked. And another man had a visit from purgatory, a visitor from purgatory who said, no one believes, no one believes, no one believes how strictly God judges and how severely He punishes. All these things, as I said at the beginning, my dear people, are said for our own sakes, all of us. Are sinners. We may not judge ourselves according to liberalism, which sees little sin and excuses so generously and knows nothing of atonement, nor our own lax, flabby consciences, but according to the divine measure, according to most pure righteousness. Since we live in a liberal environment, we must be warned that God does not change His color or His nature because we grow less fearful or because the whole world would vote otherwise. And we say these things also to remind of those for whom we ought to pray. Whatever you do, do not imagine that because their death was long ago that they are not still in purgatory. It is said that even though they gave their lives for the church and for the sacred ministry, even all the apostles had to pass through these flames. And rare it is that any saint escapes at least a brief period in those flames when they have devoted their whole lives, some of them, most strictly and stringently to avoiding sin and to gaining merit. And they say also that anything that we do for the poor souls is most highly meritorious. What we do for them, what we gain for them, is gained also for ourselves, so that we lose nothing in the bargain. And moreover, they say that if we have any part in delivering any soul from that place of torment, until we ourselves are in heaven, that soul prays constantly in heaven for us, looks after us, and does all that he can for us. You recall that in the parable of Dives and Lazarus, Dives, who, as Jesus described his damnation, was salted in flame. And he begged Father Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in a little water and come and touch his tongue, because, as he said, I am grievously tormented in this place. And Abraham said, it is impossible, because there is an unbridgeable chasm between us and thee. But you see, there is no unbridgeable chasm between ourselves and the poor souls. So that everything we do, every little sacrifice or every little prayer that we do, is like our going to purgatory and slaking their thirst, cooling their brows, and gaining their everlasting friendship in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.